Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Ms. Buckley, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Present.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Here, thank you. Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Reverend Kenny?
Here. Here.
Mr. Atkins?
Here.
Mr. Foster?
Here.
I can't hear them.
They're pressing the button.
I know, I'm watching. Mr. Ahmed?
Here.
Mr. Echeverria?
Here.
And Madam Chair?
Here. Mr. Barlow, would you please read the open public meeting notice?
Certainly, Madam Chair. We are doing this meeting through the online meeting platform, specifically Zoom, in keeping with the guidelines that have been disseminated by the Department of Community Affairs. The Planning Board has tried its best to comply with the Open Public Meeting Act and the DCA guidelines. In addition, any applicant whose matter will be heard this evening has had the login information for the online meeting platform put forth in their notice. Members of the public who wish to be heard will be afforded an opportunity as if they were in an actual physical space. And I believe the board's done its absolute best to comply with the DCA guidelines and the Open Public Meetings Act.
Thank you. The flag can be seen over my right shoulder. Can we all recite the Pledge of Allegiance in unison, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Can we swear in the professionals?
Certainly, Ron, Jim.
Yep.
Swear the testimony I give before this board will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
It is, I do.
Are there any changes to our agenda tonight?
None that I am aware of, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any duly audited bills to be paid tonight?
Believe so. There should be a motion to pay the bills.
Can I get a motion to pay all duly audited bills?
Motion, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second, Dawn Corcoran.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
I see him on the screen there.
Yeah. Once we're done with this, I'm going to have to get off. I'm going to have to move them into Dawn's office. I apologize. Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster? Yep. Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes. Do you want to take a quick break right now, Laura, to move?
Yes, please. Yeah, it's all set up. All we have to do is grab their stuff and come in. So, operator. Thank you.
Meeting is adjourned for a moment.
Chair, I'm going to jump off and try to come back in to hopes to get some video here. Okay.
We're adjourned for about 5 minutes.
Thank you.
But I told them, don't chit-chat me. I can't mute them, so they can't talk about it.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, grab a seat.
Okay.
It's like a police slide up there.
All right, you guys are unmuted.
Okay.
Do you know how to mute and unmute if you want? You have to stretch though.
Just unmute.
You can see all my children's artwork.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Our meeting all right, is... And I told them they can't talk about anybody because they're not on mute. Okay. And if you guys do need to mute, just use that.
This is Dawn's office, yes.
Okay, it's 7:06 and our meeting is back in session. The next item on our agenda is adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on March 11th. Well, there's none on that. There's none. Adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of March 11th. Do I have a motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting of March 11th? From someone?
Madam Chair, I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
Mr. Atkins, a second.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Walsh?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes, yes. Item number 10, discussion on the affordable housing ordinance enacting UHAC and amended FHA regulations.
Madam Chair, this is Dawn Corcoran. This is one inclusive and comprehensive ordinance enacting the Uniform Housing Affordability Controls and the Fair Housing Act, the development fee ordinance, and the mandatory set aside for affordable housing. We already have an ordinance in place. However, this is the most recent. This is what we are required to adopt. It's already been before council for first reading. So it's coming to us for a consistency review.
And since this is in keeping with the master plan requirements for the affordable housing, I think, Dawn, you'd agree it's consistent with same.
Members of the board, do you have any questions or comments? Do I have a motion to?
Do we need to open to the public, Madam Chair?
Oh, yes, we do. I apologize. Members of the public, this is an ordinance that has gone to the who has been reviewed by the council, and it's back for our second reading. It's been posted and we have no comments, any further comments. If anyone in the public has questions about this ordinance that's back for review, please indicate your questions by waving your hand and asking any questions.
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, calls to the public. Members of the board, what's your pleasure?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion. Councilwoman Cahill.
Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, because of the time constraints that are involved, I took the liberty of preparing a resolution indicating the planning board's consistency review and concurrence with the adoption of same so that it can go back to the municipal governing body for second reading. If someone would like to make a motion just to adopt the resolution so it can be sent back to council.
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I make a motion to adopt the resolution that goes back to chair.
Do I have a second?
I second it.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Now we're in item number 11, discussion, consistency review for rezoning. Block 2101. Lots 8, 9, 901, and 902.
Madam
Chair. On
the
township map. Yes?
I'm sorry. For ease of the board's time, mm-hmm. we're going to discuss 11, 12, and 13 together because they're just three different properties as outlined that are all part of the same zoning ordinance in terms of essentially rezoning them and adding them to the affordable housing requirement. And I think Dawn can just expound on that a little bit.
No problem. So
we're merging items number 11 and items number 12?
And 13.
And 13. Okay.
So basically, last month, the planning board adopted the amended housing element and fair share plan. And if you recall, there was a chart within that plan that identified sites where housing has either been constructed or sites where housing could be constructed to meet the township's fourth round housing obligation. So with this ordinance, there's going to be three new zones created. We're going to have the AH4, AH5, and AH6 zoning ordinances. They will allow for affordable housing and market rate housing to be constructed. Keeping in mind that each of these properties will come back to the planning board for site plan approval. We have the three properties. We're going to have the recommendation is for the property, the H8 with the AH4 designation, that property is on Lakeview Avenue. The property with the AH5 affordable housing designation, that's the property on Turner Place, South Washington. And the AH6 designation will be for another property over on Stoughton Road. But again, it's important to note that these will come back to us. We will have a say in what the buildings will look like and various, you know, things that we do comment on. So it's just to get the housing in place, the zoning in place, so that these applications can be submitted and come to this board for review. And again, we're on strict deadlines. Council had their first reading. This is coming back to planning board tonight for a consistency review. If the board agrees that it's consistent with the master plan, it will go back to for second reading and adoption by council next week.
Okay. Is there any other questions from the board? Okay, I would like to open it up to the public. At this time, any members of the public have any questions on these, on the consistency review of these three items that have been discussed here?
You can raise your hand, and I did unmute you. So if you have any questions, you could unmute or just raise your hand. No one, Madam Chair.
Okay, closed to the public. Is there a motion from the board, please?
Motion, Councilwoman Cahill.
Do I have a second?
Second, Reverend Kenny.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
And again, Madam Chair, because of the time constraints the state has placed us under, I took the liberty of preparing a resolution indicating the consistency review and concurrence with adoption of the resolution for the three properties in question.
Okay. Who wants to put forth that resolution? Can I get it?
Reverend Kenny, want to adopt the resolution that's set forth in regards to item 13.
Item number 13, 11, 12, and 13.
11, 12, and 13, I'm sorry, 11, 12, and 13. They're conclusive together.
For consistency review.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I get a second?
I second it. Mike.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes, sorry.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Okay, item number 14, discussion area in need of redevelopment study on block 1901 in Piscataway Township on 44 Stoughton Road.
I believe Mr. Clarkin is here, Madam Chair.
Mr. Clarkin,
discuss his report.
Yes, good evening, members of the board. Thank you, Tom, for the introduction. I'm James Clarkin of Foresight Planning. council first and then your board directed me to put together the study for block 1901 lot 64.01 dated March 26th of this year. So I will be guiding you through my report and its findings, and happy to take any questions at the end. So you all may know this property, or better know this property as 44 Stelton Road. It is where the former New Market School is located. And I'm going to skip to the end of my report just for a map, just to orient us all of where we're talking about. So in the light blue box is the subject property that I investigated. I'm pretty sure most of you are very aware of this property. It's pretty well known in the township, and it's also come before this board for site plan reviews for several projects. So as you can see, two structures on there. You have a roughly 10,000 square foot strip commercial building built in the 1980s. That's on the south side a lot. And then on the north side is, like I said, the New Market School, or the former New Market School, that was in the process of being rehabbed into an office use, but I will get into that. As you can see, New Market Park is directly adjacent to our property, pretty much dominated by residential neighborhoods all surrounding the property. And then, as you all know, there is a small commercial corridor along Stelton Avenue that is nearby. So I'm going to jump back up. So I was able to visit the site on February 26th of this year, and collected some photographs, and I did my typical due diligence of your zoning and building records, police records, ownership, all that good stuff, in preparation for this study. So with that, I will get into a little background. I'll try and be brief, because like I said, I'm pretty sure you all are very familiar with this. So it's actually in your business professional zone, BP2, and it covers a land area of about 3.43 acres. I already touched on the buildings that are on there, but just for the record, the former New Market School is roughly total of 63,460 square feet. And that includes a 13,500 square foot addition on the rear of the building that I believe your board, actually it may have been, I can't recall if it's this board or the zoning board, but one of your boards approved that project. Upon revisiting those, it does not appear any of the uses approved by the zoning. Oh, sorry, you know what? I skipped a step. In 2018, sorry, I'll start over. Now I see it. In 2016, your board approved the former New Market School project. So that was 10 years ago. And as you'll see in the photographs, there was not much progress made. In 2018, the zoning board granted approvals for the existing strip mall. So that's where they approved a pizzeria, a bakery, and a diner as tenants. Then again, in 2021, they came back to grant an approval for a restaurant in the same strip mall building. So when I did my site visit, none of those uses were in operation or looked like they were anywhere near complete. And I can say the same about the former New Market School. Some construction was done, but it was nowhere near complete. In terms of tenants, the strip mall did have one tenant. It's Provident Bank. They occupy about a little less than 3,000 square feet, but that was the only tenant in that building. As for the former school, there were no tenants active upon my visit. However, I learned that the post office did have a small 768 square foot space that they had to vacate due to mold. And so I'll get into those details in a little bit. So that's really a overview. I did want to note that when I reviewed some of the police records, there were some mostly about post office patrons that may have complained or something along those lines, but I did find one where young kids were exploring the construction zone, which is obviously unsafe to the community. So I did want to flag that. In terms of environmental, I reviewed the study area and did not find anything of significant environmental value or of environmental concern. No wetlands. As you know, you guys approved projects. There's been nothing found. So I don't think there's any environmental reviews. I already kind of went over surrounding land uses, so I won't dive into that again. I do want to touch on the master plan perspective. So as I mentioned, the strip mall was built in the 1980s. The school was actually originally built in the 1920s. And then between those years, mostly in the 50s and the 60s, the residential neighborhoods were developed. So you could definitely say that this is an older part of the township that can benefit from reuse and redevelopment efforts. So continuing on to my report, page 7 just lists all the statutory criteria that is found in the redevelopment law. No need to really go over that. And now before I dive into the pictures of my site visit, I just want to note a couple of things. Mainly that it seems from doing some due diligence that the COVID-19 pandemic really caused some definite delays for construction for both projects. I did find some construction code violations, particularly for the school where they had to redo the electrical and it basically had to be ripped out. And unfortunately, I think all those things combined to cause financial issues because it was found out that the former school was the subject of a strict foreclosure. So basically that meant that to avoid foreclosure, the former owner handed over the deed to the bank. So they now have ownership and control of the property. And then I observe significant vacancies, over 70% unoccupied space in both buildings on average. And that these conditions have persisted for about 2 years. So now I will go into the photographs. So these are facade photos. Top is the strip mall commercial building. Bottom is the facade of the new school, sorry, former New Market School. Already keep saying that. So you can see they definitely did some work, but the construction fencing is still up. They did some windows. And then this kind of really shows the rear addition that was approved all the way back in 2016. So most of the exterior is done, but as you're about to see, the interior is not. So definitely not fit for tenants for an office use building. On the bottom photo, you can see that they had to get rid of the drywall, probably to rip out all the electrical that was not up to code and never were able to replace it. The top is an interior photograph of the school that I guess just never got touched. This looks like it's, you know, no construction occurred here. Bottom photo is a broken window, unclear if that was vandalism or someone trying to enter. Either way, definitely an unsafe condition for the community. And, you know, the top photo is pretty clear. You know, they store materials here, they ceased construction, they just couldn't get very far and had to ultimately abandon the project. And up top here is the former post office space, but as I mentioned, they were not there. So that concludes the photographs for the former school. Now I'm gonna move on to the commercial building where you have one tenant, but the remainder of it, about 70%, was being constructed for that restaurant use that the zoning board approved back in 2018. So as you can tell, also in a state of construction, materials, unfinished walls, you know, pictures tell the story for me. So overall, I think the conditions shown in the photographs clearly show a majority of the buildings being substandard, unsafe, not tenantable, definitely vacant and abandoned, and possibly discontinued. And I think these conditions are clearly detrimental to the township. So just to put a bow on this, I'm going to touch on the exact criteria of the law that I feel the conditions match to. So the first is the A criteria. I won't read the entire thing, but it's basically saying the generality of buildings are substandard, unsafe, dilapidated, or really in a condition that's unwholesome to living or working conditions. I think without a doubt, we could definitely say that no tenant could occupy either the former New Market School or the restaurant space in the commercial building. You know, just the way they are, they're unfinished spaces, so they're substandard and unsafe. And as I mentioned, there are records of young residents entering into those unfinished construction sites, which is whatever it's for. It's definitely an unsafe activity for the community. And then the B criteria is more related to the discontinuance of use of a commercial building or a shopping mall or an office park, which these two uses definitely are consistent with, but the key word is the significant vacancies of such buildings. So I'm going to put some statistics before you. So as I mentioned, let's start with the small commercial building. Had one tenant occupying 2,900 square feet out of a total of about 10,400 square feet. So that gives you an unoccupied rate of 73%. So almost three quarters is unoccupied, and it's been that way for over 2 years. So I definitely think, I believe that's both significant and meets the criteria of the B criteria for being, having a significant vacancy. And then I would pose the exact same argument for the former New Market School, because that has a total of 63,000 square feet, give or take. And when the post office was there, they only occupied a measly 768 square feet. So that's pretty much a 99% vacancy rate or unoccupied state. And since they moved out due to the mold, probably from the unfinished condition of the construction, that moved to 100% in the last couple of months. And then finally, I think you could make an argument that because of the foreclosure status of the former school, you could argue that there is an abandonment in terms of the project they proposed to your board 10 years ago, that they're obviously not going to be able to finish. And then finally, the age criteria is the smart planning criteria. I think that since this is part of a vibrant existing residential neighborhood with a commercial corridor, this could definitely be redeveloped in a smart way to have walkability, a sense of place for community. So I definitely think that this criteria can also apply. So in conclusion, I recommend that the Piscataway Township Planning Board find that this study is a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment based on the fact that it meets criteria A, B, and H of the law. I'm happy to take any questions because I know I went over a lot of statistics and numbers, but that is my recommendation to the board.
Members of the board, do we have any questions?
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill.
Yes. Go ahead, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Clarkin, could you remind the board the zoning that's in that area right now?
Sure.
But just want to remind the board as they're thinking about it.
Definitely. So it's in what's called the BP-2, which is business professional zone. So really zoned for office, strip commercial, exactly what was trying to be operating there.
We don't have any option though to maybe incorporate. I know that there's apartments going across the street. I mean, could this be like residential and retail? Does that qualify in our zoning?
So I think that is definitely a tool in your toolbox for the redevelopment plan, is that you can work with a redeveloper on what you feel is an appropriate redevelopment use. So the redevelopment plan has the power to supersede your existing zoning code. So yes, I think that is definitely a possibility.
And Jimmy, if I may, Gabby, it's Dawn Corcoran. This is one of the sites that is in our amended housing element and fair share plan as well.
Thank you, Dawn.
No problem.
Go ahead, Mayor.
I just want to interject real quickly. This has been a bone of contention for this site with a lot of the neighbors in the area for at least a decade and a half because of the deplorable condition of the property. More than likely, whatever happens, I suspect that the building will be demoed in its entirety because of the condition of it. I hate to see it go, but it is what it is. I remember as a child having my first basketball clinic there back in the very late 60s. So it was an icon then, but you know what? It's time. The neighborhood has suffered because of the condition of that. And it's not fair to the neighborhood to just continue seeing the condition out there.
So if it is seems to be eligible for demolition, then why would we go through the process of evaluating it for redevelopment.
I believe that, I mean, as Jim indicated, the designation of the area in need of redevelopment opens up kind of the toolbox of development opportunities for a redeveloper who's actually going to do something, as opposed to, as the mayor's indicated, sat on, you know, it's in foreclosure now. So it gives a lot more development tools to get something done there, as opposed to just sitting in its current state. So this is a positive to advance something positive taking place there.
Right now, the bank owns it.
Yep.
And also, they were looking at that property. They were trying to determine whether or not it could be salvaged, or is it, you know, has so much time passed and, you know, it's not the code. Does it have to come down? So there was also a back and forth as to what was actually going to be done with the old school.
Yeah, because I was on the board in the 2016 when it was originally submitted for redevelopment, and it's in worse condition than it was originally. So we're going back through that same routine again, through that same process again. Okay, let's, are there any more questions or discussion?
Well, Madam Chair, I would just make a comment to your comments is that opening up to the availability, as Dawn pointed out, we want to include this in our affordable housing plan is, you know, listen, my husband and I own our home, but a lot of young people with the apartment and potentially, you know, retail, I think it's a great part of our town to really be paying close attention to be able to hopefully add some additional, you know, apartments, anything like that, where folks can walk out of their apartment, walk down the street, get a cup of coffee. It's definitely something that I hope that whoever the developer is would be looking at that housing. And I would be definitely recommending that as, you know, council person.
Yeah, I can see it as a good site for housing, multiple use housing. I think it's a wonderful site for that purpose. And I agree with you in that point. But we have to go through this process first in order to see what comes out of it, I guess.
And just okay. Just put on the record as well, Councilwoman, I agree with you 100%. Someone who lives that close to Stella, and I would love to see that mixed use of that property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that whole strip, it could be such a lovely gem in our town if we really start looking at that.
It's certainly much better than what it is now.
Madam Chair, just by way of historical thing, when I was growing up as a kid in town, that was the downtown business area of Piscataway. Mm-hmm. Other than downtown New Brunswick, to go, you either went to New Brunswick or Plainfield to get your clothes or whatever. Mm. But there was a small, thriving business community in that section of Stoughton Road right there.
Yeah. Okay. Should we open it up to the public now if you're finished discussion from the board? Members of the public. Senator Smith.
So I'm speaking as a member of the public.
Oh, okay. Member of the public.
Okay, Bob.
Absolutely. Redevelopment is absolutely appropriate for this site. But I wanted to mention two things. Inside the building, there are some plaques talking about what this was historically, who built it, who were the officials involved that many, many years ago. I'd like to suggest that in your plan for the affordable housing, that there might be a sentence installed in there that the plaques are saved and given, you know, a prominent location in the new affordable housing. And likewise, that building was the home for many years of a postal substation. Yep. And the people on the northern end of the town really liked that, you know, because they didn't have to go to the center of the town to drop off mail or get the right package or postage. So the other suggestion I'd like to make is that there be an effort made to see if we can get the Piscataway Post Office to put a postal substation in that location. It would be very nice for the people in the north.
Just recently left, so we could get it back.
Yeah, we should. Well, it's a dangerous building, so.
Yeah.
Back in the area or near that site when it's rehabilitated.
Absolutely. That's my two cents.
Okay. Members of the public, you've heard our discussion. Anyone in the public like to add something to the discussion or ask any questions, would you please indicate so by raising your hand, by a show of hands?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Then it's closed to the public. Members of the board, if you have no further discussion, would someone like to make a motion, please?
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. I'll make a motion that we, I guess this is to recommend Mr. Barlow to have the area in need of redevelopment sent back to the council.
Yes. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Thank you.
Yes, Councilwoman, designated a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment. Sorry, I had my thing on mute.
And it's been seconded by whom? Who seconded?
Mr. Foster.
Oh, Mr. Foster, thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I did take the liberty of preparing a resolution.
Yes, you did, I'm sure.
If someone would like to move the resolution.
Do we have someone to move the resolution, please?
So move, Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Thank you. Roll call, moving the resolution to have this considered area needed resolution.
Sorry, Madam Chair. Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. And I will say to talk on to Senator Smith's point, during my site visit, I definitely saw some boxes of old memorabilia and even old school chairs. So maybe if the Board of Ed wants to take a walk through and grab some things for memory's sake, might be the time now.
Yeah, but put it aside. And let the Board of
We'll make sure that it gets to the museum at least.
Yeah. All right, take care.
Item number 15-25 PB 1516/16V, Raghuveer LLC, preliminary and final site plan.
Madam
Mr.
Chair,
Smith?
Mm-hmm. Bob Smith, I'm a licensed attorney in the state of New Jersey, and I'm here tonight representing Raghuveer LLC. The property is located at 136 Stelton Road. It used to be the home of Forever Flowers, which was a nice flower store. And as a matter of fact, I am mature enough to admit that I did the approval for Forever Flowers. Okay. My recollection is that before Forever Flowers, it was, I think, a dress shop, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm trying to remember driving down Stelton Road and what was there, but the building's been there for a long time. It actually is referenced on the 1925 tax map of Newmarket Terrace. And the reason I mention that is you got a property with a building that's been there, not forever, but close to forever. And as a result, it was built when we had different zoning ordinances. And as a result, it has some issues related to the fact that it was up before we had a zoning ordinance. So what Raghuveer is seeking tonight, and it's a limited liability corporation, they want to utilize the existing commercial building at 136 Stelton Road, block 1903, lot 7.01, which is located in the C zone, to operate a Krauser's convenience store. The subject property is an existing commercial lot containing a vacant commercial building, which was previously used as a flower shop until the previous owners retired and sold the property. My client proposes a convenience store, which is consistent with the use in the C zone. Hence, we're not in front of the zoning board. We're in front of the planning board. The applicant proposes and intends to use the building as it's in its existing structure, which, by the way, was the same as the flower shop, pretty much, as is, with an interior fit out for the Krausers. Additionally, some exterior site work is proposed to remove existing parking spaces that are in the township's right-of-way and to relocate them in the rear yard of the lot. The installation of curbs, sidewalks, conduits along the property frontage as per township recommendations are also proposed and should be shown on our map. We're asking for, believe it or not, 14 bulk variances. As I repeat the bulk variance to you, I will say one word over and over and over again, and that is existing. They're existing conditions, probably which were approved in the earlier application, but obviously it was approved for the flower shop, approved with these dimensions, etc. So just for the record, the bulk variance relief we're seeking is lot area where 7,500 feet is required, and we have 7,490 square feet existing. Lot width where 75 feet is required and 49.98 feet is existing. Lot frontage where 75 feet is required and 49.98 feet is existing. Fourth one, front yard setback where 25 feet is required and 10.21 feet is existing on Woodrow Avenue and 19.23 feet is existing on Stelton Road. Side yard setback where 8 feet is required and 0.5, half a foot is existing, and that's at the location of the refrigerator. Number six, accessory structure front yard setback where 60 feet is required and 36.5 feet is existing. That's at the shed location. Number seven, parking partially located in a township right-of-way where no encroachments are permitted, and it's an existing condition. Number eight, parking located within 50 feet of a residential zone where no parking is permitted and parking is existing. Number nine, building freestanding sign and parking located in a site triangle where no structure is permitted. Again, an existing condition. Number 10, parking located in the front yard area within 10 feet of the street line, existing condition. Number 11, more than half of the required parking is located in the front yard, existing condition. Number 12, loading area and front yard parking shall be buffered from view and no buffer is existing. Number 13, off-street parking spaces where 11 spaces are required and 10 spaces are existing. And you're going to see that we have moved the parking in cooperation with the township's recommendations. We have 10 now and we will remain with 10, but it's still one short of the 11 required. Number 14, right? Mm-hmm. Freestanding sign shall not be located within 25 feet from the street line, and the sign is located 1.5 feet from the street line, an existing condition. So everything that you see on this list is existing and had gone through, we believe, the zoning board in 2011 or 2012, one of those two dates, I think 2011. It's our intention tonight to present two witnesses. First, the applicant, his name is Bhavya Patel, and he is the managing member of Raghavir LLC. And he's going to describe what he'd like to do at the facility. And secondly, our engineer and planner, he has both titles, and that's James Mastronardi, PEPP. We have received staff reports, professional staff reports, including the township staff report revised March 4th, 2026, and the CME review number 2 dated March 5th, 2006. With your indulgence, Madam Chairman, I'd like to call Mr. Bhavya Patel to be sworn so that he can give testimony.
You may proceed.
Hello, all.
Sir, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address, please.
My name is Bhavya Patel, B-H-A-V-Y-A. Last name is Patel, P-A-T-E-L. My address is 9 Winslow Road, Edison, New Jersey, 08837.
I'm sorry, 9 Vince?
Winslow.
How do you spell that?
W-I-N-S-L-O-W.
Oh, Winslow. I'm sorry. In Edison, New Jersey.
Edison, New Jersey.
Okay. Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you'll give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes, I'll do it.
You're a witness, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Mr. Patel, what is your role in Ragovir LLC? How long have you been in the convenience store business?
I'm in convenience business more than like 2.5 years to 3 years. And I'm the managing director to take care of the Krause's food store.
Okay, so you're the managing member of the Ragovir LLC?
Yes.
That's your role? Yes, okay. Why did you choose this location for your proposed Krauser store?
So the Piscataway is a big opportunity for the big and new businesses for commercial. And I saw the Stalton Road is one of the busiest road, and there is many commercial business over there. So I got the opportunity to get the building without changing any exterior and interior. And we can serve the nearby people and community what they needed. That's why.
Okay. This is a little bit like maybe 50 years ago when you would have a store that you could walk to, as well as those driving by. But it's a nice amenity for the neighborhood in which you're located, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. What are your proposed hours of operation?
Morning 6 to a.m. to 10 p.m. at the night.
Okay. And how many employees will be in the store during those hours?
2 employees.
So is that one employee per shift and then a second managerial person coming in?
That's true.
Okay. And the managerial person is mainly there for paperwork, correct?
That's true.
All right. So I don't imagine your managers are going to be sitting there for 8 hours. They'll do whatever paperwork they have to do and leave, correct?
Correct.
So most of the time it'll be one staffer to handle the Krausers, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sure you receive deliveries. Tell us, what are your anticipated deliveries?
So basically, this is like we almost many stuff we will get by ourselves, but there is a small truck will be coming like a Frito-Lay or something, mightly monthly 2 times or 2 weekly 1 time.
So let me make sure I understand that. You have a partner. You and your partner will buy some of the stuff that's sold in your Krausers on a wholesale basis and then sell it at retail. You'll be bringing in by your personal vehicle, correct?
That's true.
All right. And then you do have some vendors who have their normal box trucks, and they will be coming by with some of their foodstuffs.
That's true.
Okay. The how long do the deliveries take?
It might be 5 minutes or maximum 10 minutes. They have to just drop the stuff and leave. That's it.
Okay. And how long do your customers stay in the store?
A max 4 to 5 minutes.
Okay. They're stopping in for the quart of milk or the...
Yeah, we have just grabbing those stuff. Yeah.
Okay. And there is an external refrigerator on site. Do you plan to keep it?
If possible, we can use it for our store.
Okay. Actually, I think that pretty much is what we wanted to ask from you. So Mr. Patel is available to the board for questions.
Members of the board, do you have any questions for this witness?
Madam Chair,
Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I thought I heard an echo. Thank you so much for those answers. A quick question just to get back to the box truck delivery. So the vendors who you anticipate coming to make those deliveries, is that for like soda, drinks?
That's Sometimes, yes. The Frito-Lay truck comes, and if they're stored out, something like that, they can come and drop it.
Right. And same for Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
Yes.
Okay. So the, I say this because I used to work for Coca-Cola. So your delivery drivers, I know for sometimes small scale, some of them were required to merchandise the product. You're saying they are not doing that. Your employee, one employee will be doing that, or two employees?
Yes. One, I will schedule the delivery when I was there. So I can, me and the one employee can help to figure it out, all this stuff.
Okay. So the delivery is just a drop off. You sign for the product, they wheel it in. I'm assuming that they're going to be parking on that side street while that happens then, or what times will your deliveries be? I mean, I don't think like the soda people deliver overnight or anything like that. That's during regular business hours, correct?
Sometime if you, they give you time, if they say you want to go do in the morning time, it's not too much busy timing, then yeah, we can do in the morning time too.
I think that was all my question is really mostly going to be around like the length of time a box truck might be parked on the side street if there's no room for parking in the lot.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Reverend Kenny, you may ask your question.
All right, thank you. Mr. Patel, in regards to your store, is this a convenience store or like a convenience store, or is it a grocery store? What type of store is it?
It's a Krause's food store. It's small.
It is a Krause's store.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Because the reason I'm asking that for traffic wise, Selton Road, if those tractor trailers, will they be able to get on that side street? Because that Selton Road is a busy road. And they get delivery on Selton Road is at certain hours. It's not conducive to where your store is. And it's not going to be a 5-minute delivery, that's for sure, or 10 minutes.
Well, let me be helpful. Is there, are there any
amount of product that you're ordered?
Let me be helpful. Are there any tractor trailer deliveries?
Oh, I know, Senator Smith. I'm aware of tractor trailers and what they do because I was a manager for a tractor trailer company for many, many years, you know, prior for my prior job. And you don't. Depends on what he orders on those streets. Those are large. Some of them go 28 to 45 feet. Depends on who's delivering to him. That's why I'm saying the width of it on that street. That's the question I asked.
So that let's make sure that we answer it thoroughly. In your experience, you've been doing this for 3 years. At various Krauser, I assume Krauser's or some other convenience store, are any of those facilities using tractor trailers for delivery?
We never have the bigger truck.
All right. And on the box trucks, worst case in the world, how many box truck deliveries, worst day, would you anticipate coming to the store?
So basically, if something like that, maximum two times they're coming, and that's not too big, they can put it on the backside. So the possibility, we have a back parking lot. So at the back, we can tell the people that they can come in the morning time and they can drop this truck in the behind. So they don't discomfort on the front.
Okay. Well, that's actually part of it. But yes, Krauser's do have, because I lived in the area, in the North Selton area, they had a Krauser store that closed up and they delivered whenever they wanted. And they had tractor trailers. I lived in that area. Okay, if that's the question that satisfies, it's okay with me, but I'm just making a suggestion. It is a busy corridor there. Madam Chair.
Any other board members have questions of this witness?
I do.
Okay, who said that?
Alex Atkins.
Oh, Mr. Atkins, I just wanted for the records, Mr. Atkins, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question about the parking. It says, I'm reading that parking is going to be in the front. The front is on Selton?
No.
No parking in the front.
Okay, so parking is going to be on the side and they're going to build a sidewalk?
Yes.
Along, what is that, Woodrow?
Yeah. Yes, we will build a sidewalk and we will move the parking on the behind, on the rear.
There's still going to be room for parking with a sidewalk and buffering?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Atkins, if I may, the property is a corner lot. That's why we identified it as front yard parking, because technically, although it is their side yard, it is also considered a front yard. I was going to wait, you know, we can talk more about this, I guess, when the engineer comes up, but we still do have to take care of that striping within the right of way and so forth. But that's more a question. That's more of a discussion with your engineer. So
thank you.
Any other questions? Are you finished, Ms. Cochran?
Yeah.
Okay. If there are no more questions from the board, I'll open it up to the public. Members of the public, you've heard the testimony of this witness. If you have any questions, you may let us know by waving your hand. If you can do so at this time.
Or unmuting.
Okay.
No one, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Close to the public.
If it's appropriate, I'll call our engineer at this time.
Yes, we're finished with this witness. You can call your next witness, Mr. Smith.
Thank you. I'd ask that Jim Mastronardi, our PE and professional planner, be called and sworn so that he can give testimony.
Okay. Sir, let me call him.
Mr. Mastronardi, could you state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your professional address, please?
James Mastronardi, M as in Mary, A-S-T-R-O-N-A-R-D-Y. I'm at 18 Malvern Drive, Clark, New Jersey.
You raise your right hand. You swear the testimony I give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes, I do.
You're a witness, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Mr. Nardi, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm mostly self-employed as a professional engineer and professional planner.
Okay. Again, you give the board your qualifications as an engineer and also as a planner.
You want me to give them?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Well, I got my professional engineer's license and professional planner's license in 1989, and I've been continuously validated by the board every year since.
Okay. And have you done planning and zoning applications in various towns in New Jersey?
Throughout New Jersey.
Okay. Give a couple of examples, if you don't mind.
Besides, I appeared before Piscataway about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and as well as Middlesex, many towns in most counties, Union, Essex, Bergen, Hudson, Somerset, throughout.
Madam Chair, I'd ask that Mr. Mastronardi be admitted.
His credentials are acceptable to the board.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you describe the plans that you prepared for this application?
I titled my plans supplementary site plan because the surveyor, Ed Tunison, prepared a basic site plan. My site plan addresses mostly the parking and the improvements, the sidewalk, curb, there's a conduit proposed, along both Stelton and Woodrow. And the drainage as well.
Okay, and did you work with the township with regard to the parking spaces? And as a result of that, did you relocate the parking spaces behind the building?
Yes, the existing parking spaces, whether illegal or not, run right across the property line with Woodrow. There's no currently no sidewalk there, and the five spaces there are actually a little more than halfway over the property line into the Woodrow Avenue right-of-way. We're taking away all those five spaces and placing them into the rear so that, because not only are those spaces possibly illegal and over the property line, but they actually are in the site triangle between Woodrow and Stelton. And so it's a much better, layout and a much safer layout.
Great. But and you did this working with the town professionals, correct?
Correct.
Right. And just for the record, and I'll get Mr. Patel back on if you want to hear it, we did not do any of the parking. When they bought the property, some additional parking had been added since the 2011 approval, wherein they didn't go before your boards. So, but it's not a shame on Mr. Patel. He didn't do it. He didn't do anything wrong. Prior property owner or someone took it upon themselves to add these parking spaces in the township right of way. So one good thing about the application, among other good things, is that you're correcting a problem that was not created by them. So were we able to provide again to this property the 10 spaces that had been previously approved, again by variance, allowing a one space shortage?
So we are providing 10 spaces. If we include the five spaces that there were previously five spaces.
Right.
And the ones that were right over the into the right of way were actually delineated with, you know, delineated spaces. Again, we're getting rid of all those. And we have 10 spaces where I believe 11 is required. However.
Right. And that was the variance received, by the way, in 2011, just FYI.
Right. There is the possibility, of course, to park along the Woodrow Avenue curb because there are at least two spaces available there. It's a 50-foot right-of-way. You know, someone would have to come into the parking area and back out, regardless of whether they're parking in that parking area to the rear, and then come out Woodrow towards Stelton anyway. And should they, you know, and first enter the parking area and see there are no spaces, they can back out and possibly park right along the curb of Woodrow. So
Jim, is your point that in many ways this application is superior to the Forever Flowers application, because in effect, by removing the parking on the side, on the Woodrow side, you've now allowed for some on-street parking that wasn't possible before?
Correct. And we're constructing full height curb there, where now there's a fully depressed curb. So yes, that creates two more spaces. So in actuality, if you include those spaces, then we have satisfied the technically, you know, the technical requirement of the ordinance.
Got it. So my understanding is that on the plan, there is a concrete pad that's going to be used as a dumpster enclosure. And you have a specific comment to make about the thickness of the concrete of the pad. Is that true?
And what is your comment? There was a comment from the engineering division that the dumpster pad should be 8 inches. That's absolutely not necessary. There's no truck that will be coming up onto that pad. 4 inches would be enough. 4-inch thick pad will be more than enough for a small dumpster or however the garbage is contained.
So you're recommending that to the board?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about the existing external refrigerator.
I can't really speak to that.
You heard our client's testimony that they plan to use it in their business, correct?
Yes.
And that doesn't create any site plan problems
for us. No. There's a fence right along there.
Okay. Based on the size of the lot and the existing asphalt, are any additional stormwater measures needed?
That remains to be seen. There were no comments from the engineering division regarding the stormwater. And I guess Joe is putting it off to the future for any comments. I don't propose any. There's an increase of approximately close to 1,200 square feet of impervious area in the back. If the engineering looks at it and says, well, we'd like a seepage pit in there, I can design a seepage pit. As of right now, I'm just showing the water entering from the parking area in back to Woodrow Avenue, and then would travel towards Stelton along the curb.
So does the existing stormwater system work?
Yes, there have been no complaints. The stormwater travels along the curb to the nearest catch basins, and right now, as far as I know, there are no complaints. But again, that's for the engineering division to comment on. It wasn't commented on in the engineering review letter, and I thought it would be, but that's still an outstanding item, actually.
Mr. Smith, perhaps as a potential condition of approval, would the applicant agree to work with Mr. Herrera with regards to any stormwater issues that he identifies?
Mr. Patel, does that work for you?
Okay.
So the answer is yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. The conduits that the township is requiring on the property frontage, my understanding is that we're also being asked by the town to install curbs and sidewalks where required. And my understanding as well is that the town wants these noted on the plan. Do we have any objection to that?
No.
All right. And Mr. Mastronardi, you have no problem revising the plans accordingly?
No problem.
All right. And then finally, there is no proposal for additional lighting. You already have lighting on the property. In your professional opinion, Mr. Mastronardi, is that lighting sufficient for this project?
I believe so.
And how about landscaping? What are we doing in the area of landscaping?
We're proposing 7 arborvitae, American arborvitae, at the back, beyond the curb at the back of the lot to the rear, to buffer, and along with the fence, to buffer the adjacent residence.
All right. That concludes his testimony concerning engineering. I'm going to flip him into the planner mode, if that's okay, Madam Chair.
Yes, that's fine. I don't think we need to have a separate questioning session.
Okay. So if you would, putting on your hat as a licensed professional planner, you've heard me list 14 existing bulk variances. What do you have to say about it as a licensed professional planner that would give the board the justification necessary to say yes to those bulk variances?
Again, as you mentioned, the building has been there for a long time. None of the bulk variances are extreme, unless you want to consider the lot width to be significantly less than required. But the building itself is in scale with the property itself, so I see absolutely no problems with any of those bulk variances.
Anything else you want to add as a planner?
Excuse me?
Anything else you want to add as a planner?
Well, as far as the use, as it's been mentioned before, this is a commercial corridor. There's many different businesses up and down Stelton between Old New Brunswick Road and Lakeview, and including dry cleaners, pizzeria, print shop, professional offices, restaurant, 2 banks. I think the use is interesting. There is one, a quick check about 3 blocks away across from the library, but I think it can fill a void. So I don't know, I think the use is fine, and I think it can fit in. And we're only improving the property. Again, as an engineer, I'm saying we were improving the property, putting a sidewalk and curb in. In making the parking much better, much better situation. And, right now the building is not being used. And I think the use as a Krausers could be a good use for the general area.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Mastronardi is complete in his testimony. He's available either as an engineer or a professional planner, to your board for questions.
Mr. Smith, just real quick, could Mr. Mastronardi discuss the positive and negative criteria in terms of the grants of the variances, even though they're pre-existing, just to get some planning testimony on as to the criteria?
Sure. Mr. Mastronardi?
I've mentioned the positive criteria as through not labeling, but positive criteria is that it fills a possible void in the area, providing a small need. For milk and whatever they're selling in Krausers, small items, packaged items and cold items, etc. Although I understand that it won't have any food preparation in the building, so it's a quick and in and out, easily in and out with the parking down, come down Woodrow, boom, in. You're not, as far as the negative criteria, it's not interfering with the neighborhood, the residences in the neighborhood going back down Woodrow, because they come in, they go along, they go 150 feet, come in, go out, and they're back to Stelton Avenue.
Let me put it this way. If the variances which we are requesting, which are all existing conditions, can they be granted without causing substantial detriment to the public good? And if variances are granted, they will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the municipal zoning plan.
Ordinances.
Is that a fair statement?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And on the other side of the relief, we have provided proofs that satisfy the hardship criteria. Doing on this property that's been there forever, doing more than is already proposed only creates additional variances and makes the property less conforming than it currently is. So the purpose of the municipal land use law are promoted by the requested variances for existing conditions, and then the improvement of the parking so that there's additional possible parking, and we're getting off the township's right of way. Is that not true?
True.
Okay. Mr. Barlow, does that work for you?
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. So Mr. Mastronardi is available.
Thank you. First of all, Mr. Mastronardi, there had been testimony that there was a refrigerator outside. Is there a lock on that refrigerator? I'm just concerned about the safety of the children in the area.
I think I referred to the owner. I can't speak to that.
Let me get you the answer. Mr. Patel, would you please answer that question? Is the refrigerator accessible from the outside or only from the inside?
Only for the inside. Everything is covered by the franchise.
Yeah. Madam Chair, if I may, I think that this refrigerator basically acts as attached to the building. That's why that they have a side yard setback measured from this. It's almost like a room. It's not like a refrigerator sitting outside.
Okay, because the testimony keeps calling it a refrigerator.
I'll let others confirm that.
Okay, just I'm looking out for safety of anyone on the outside.
My older brother almost died getting locked in the refrigerator in 1953. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
He got rescued by the superintendent of his building.
Okay.
True story.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so emphasizing it one more time, there is no access from the outside to the refrigerated room/refrigerator, correct?
Oh.
That's true.
Inside only and under the supervision of your employees, correct?
That's true.
Thank you. Members of the board, do you have any questions of Mr. Mastronardi?
Madam Chair, if I may.
This is Ms. Cochran. Cochran, for the record.
I am sorry about that. Mm-hmm. What do you intend to do with the area that was formerly where the parking was? I see on the plan is still designated as asphalt. Do you intend for it to remain as asphalt? Are you going to seed it? Is it going to become a grass area? What are we doing with that?
As far as I know, it's just going to remain the way it is, which is asphalt.
I guess then I'll go back to the applicant. I mean, would you be willing to work with the township's landscape architect to sort of dress that up a bit? I mean, if you don't have a need for the asphalt, it should just be restored perhaps back to a grass area and, you know, just make it a little bit more appealing.
Okay.
Mr. Miguel?
Yes. Okay.
The other question I had, and I apologize, I'm not sure if you addressed this or not, but the dumpster area, will that be enclosed with a fence? I mean, that's what the recommendation of staff is. Will it have an enclosure? We just don't want to see a dumpster sitting out there. So I guess I should say the staff is requiring a dumpster enclosure. Do you agree to that?
Okay.
Okay. And finally, the striping for the handicap space, it extends beyond the property line. In fact, it looks like it's going right up to the sidewalk. How are we going to address that?
Well, can I pose that? Would that be a problem? Because all you wind up with is one and a half feet at the most of a strip. That's, you know, what else would it be? And in order to fit five spaces, we're coming very close to the fence on the south side.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, you know, and so it's just an aisle, 5 foot aisle that's allowed to come up to the sidewalk. I don't think there's no vehicle parked in that area, obviously. And so I don't think it's a problem.
Dawn, I'm almost thinking, can they rearrange that? It's an ADA accessible spot. Why does it have to bleed over on the sidewalk? That's a public right away. They've done yeoman's work in eliminating most of the stuff that was approved in 88, except it's a little striping. I mean, if they go that little extra yard, you're eliminating an extra variance with you taking up space that really is owned by the township.
I mean, that's a technicality.
Technicalities count.
They count. What is? Yeah, it's a technicality, but
I don't understand, Mr. Reinerstein, exactly what your suggestion is. Would you?
Well, I mean, is there a way we can just, I mean, move that ADA space where the striping, which is required, doesn't go
into tight enough as it is?
Can you make another space compact and to get that striping back into this property line?
Because you guys have done great work, but this is the final 5 yards here.
Let's just get there.
Okay, if you want to reduce the spaces to 8.5,
well, we can
do that. I mean, but
yeah,
do we really need to? I don't know.
Well, so this goes into the big picture. There are some new variances or waivers, council, in all due respect, because you moved the parking closer to the residences, but you're putting arborvitaes in there. So I think, you know, I'm not testifying for you, but it seems this is a trade-off that the board has to realize that these spots in the right-of-way was approved in 88. You're eliminating them, which is a good thing. So there's some extra variances, but, you know, this is the trade-off here, that the public right-of-way is basically being cleared of this overhang and making a more rational parking arrangement, except for this striping.
Mr. Reinerstein, so what are you suggesting? Because you're talking about that blacktop area that's going to be seeded over. Are you saying that we sacrifice some of that? Like, I'm trying to visualize this. We don't really have a picture to look at.
Yeah. I'll ask the engineer if he could put something up. But what they've done is that like five spots were along the Woodrow frontage, and there was a 3 or 4 foot overhang into the right of way. This was approved as a variance back in 88, and council, you know, since you were on that, you know this. So what they've done basically, and I think working with the township, said, hey, let's fix this. They've shifted all 10 spaces to, you know, almost in one area. which creates a couple of variances, but eliminates this whole overhang on Woodrow. It makes it more rational, but they have this one little sliver of the ADA spot that they have to have striping on the side for, you know, that's regulated, that actually overhangs onto the sidewalk, which is not their property. It's the township's property. So all I was suggesting is, can you put that ADA spot in a different place and just get rid of it?
So it's not even just about the striping, it's actually that the vehicle is going to be parked in that spot.
No, reverse.
The striping.
They've eliminated that. They've eliminated the vehicle. What they've done is the ADA spot is parallel to Woodrow.
Okay.
But the striping that has to be next to it, you know, for the access.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's the part that overhangs. It's just the striping overhangs the sidewalk.
Foot and four inches.
And they are installing sidewalks and conduit, too. So,
foot and four inches. So,
if you eliminate the striping, which identifies that spot, it results in one less parking space. Yes or no?
I'm not saying that. Could you move the ADA spot in another space? That's all.
No.
And I think that's where Dawn was getting at.
Well, I think Mr. Mastronardi is saying you can't. Well, do you, I mean, you've looked at it carefully?
Yes, I've tried different configurations. It doesn't work. It's a foot and 4 inches we're talking about. And what do you want to do? Make the 9-foot spaces smaller? We could take the 4 9-foot spaces and gain 2 feet. And if you want to do that, but is it really necessary? That's all I'm asking.
We're saying it's necessary. I think you're hearing from the planner, some of the board members, staff, it is necessary.
Okay, so we'll make
so if you made them 8.5 feet wide, if you made them the four other ones 8.5 feet wide, you'd gain 2 feet.
Exactly, and that's all we need.
That's okay. All you need.
So then you would just need, Dawn, would they need a variance for the 4 parking spaces being 8.5 by 18 instead of 9 by 18?
I mean, can we just make them compact? I mean, it's okay.
You can call them compact and not call it a variance, but again, that's the trade-off.
I think
so compact, put a sign up compact.
The four parking spaces will be 8.5 by 18, and that will allow the striping to come off the right of way. Is that acceptable, Mr. Smith?
Does it solve our ADA problem?
Yes.
Yes.
You'd still have five feet of ADA. It just wouldn't be in the right of way.
Okay. And you eliminated variance, which is
a great thing. Mastronardi, you understand the revision? The 8.5 feet wide spaces?
We'll make them 8.5 feet.
Eight and a half feet, right.
Why not?
Okay.
All right. So, Mr. Patel, that works for you?
Yes. What happened to Mr. Mastronardi? We lost him?
He disappeared.
Right. He vanished.
I think he's figuring out.
No. I have to put an object down on the camera so he can see.
Okay.
All right.
Hopefully
Dawn, did you have any other comments? Okay.
I'd like to point out, notice I say loading area just beyond the handicap space toward the building. I have a loading area there. I'm thinking of maybe if a truck wants to park along the curb and unload, maybe create a 5-foot depressed curb with a curb along Woodrow Avenue so they can roll something in and go directly into the door. I see where I have an E there? That's an entrance for loading. They can go directly from the truck through a 5-foot wide depressed curb in Woodrow directly into that door that's at the
of course they're going to defend that.
We were talking about loading before. So it can either pull into the parking area and go through the striped area for the handicapped and into the loading area and then into the back of the building, or park along Woodrow Avenue, go through a 5-foot wide depressed curb, go right up there as well through the loading area, which I designated on the plan, into the door at the rear where I have an E. You see that?
I don't know if the town understands that.
Well, I think we understand that it just came out of the blue because there wasn't a question about it. So
right. I just thought I'd mention that. And that striped area would be used because I have wheel stops along all the parking there, including the handicapped. Where would they roll that in? They would be using that striped area.
Mr. Messenger, I don't think the town is asking for a depression in the curb that you're putting in on Woodrow. It's not something that the town is looking for you to do.
Right. The town is asking for 8.5 feet wide spaces.
I know I changed the subject a little bit.
Yeah.
I agree. 8.5. Well,
that's not a great idea. If I can make that plain. All right. The town is saying to us that 8.5 feet wide spaces and a revision to the striping solves this issue. Am I missing it or is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. You're addressing it to me, Mr. Smith. And I think Ms. Corcoran nodded in agreement to that. And that gets rid of the striping in the right of way.
Right. Mr. Patel, you're good with this?
Yes.
Okay. That was the correct answer. So we're going to need to revise before you need to get a revised plan to the town so they can see that it's been done.
It's impractical, but we'll do it.
Mr. Smith, any other witnesses or testimony or?
No, we were in the middle of questioning. Okay. I think finishing up questioning for the board, we have to open it to the public. Members of the public, if you have any questions of the final witness who was Mastronardi, would you please indicate by raising your hand? Ms. Buckley, do you see anyone who wants to ask a question?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, close to the public. Members of the board, if you have no further questions, would someone like to propose a motion to accept this application, if that is your desire?
Okay. So let me be a little outrageous.
Don't be outrageous. Just say what you have to say, Mr. Smith.
Okay. The gentlemen who are on Ragavir LLC have a serious need to get this business up and running. Just FYI, background, what created the nightmare that this has been for them is not anything they did or anything that we did. We did not represent them on the real estate purchase. And whoever represented them on the real estate purchase didn't do, in my opinion, the appropriate due diligence. They knew nothing about these parking spaces being illegal. And Dawn did the right thing when she reviewed and she said, you're on our property. What's going on here? That created an engineering nightmare and a timing nightmare. Mr. Patel, you closed on this property how long ago?
It's almost 9 months.
All right. And we're pleading for mercy here. The mercy is that he needs to try and get this business underway. I think Mastronardi can get a quick plan back to the town. But if there's any way in your deliberations, and I don't know, anything beside the regular meeting? Do you guys have a second meeting or a TRC meeting or a site plan meeting or something?
We don't have a meeting where action could be taken.
Until May.
Yes.
Yes, that's the next meeting is in May.
May 13th.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't this be a condition of approval? I'm confused.
It would be a condition of approval. Certainly your engineer can start working on all of these revisions.
Not even a question. I'm trying to find a way to get them able to get a building permit, get the job done, and get the store open. Does anybody have a constructive suggestion other than waiting until a memorialized resolution on May the 13th, did you say?
Yeah, May 13th. I don't have a constructive one other than Mr. Mastronardi can certainly prepare the plans in keeping with everything that was agreed to so that once the resolution is adopted, boom, you can go right in. Because, I mean, the building department, Dawn, is everyone's going to need to see plans that are consistent with the resolution that I haven't put together yet.
Right.
And certainly your client can put the bonds and all of that until we have the approved set of plans. But again, if, you know, certainly feel free to reach out to us while you're making these plan revisions. We can sit down and meet with you to go over some of those things we discussed, you know, for landscaping and things of that nature. But
I certainly appreciate the ask, Mr. Smith, but I don't see a way of.
All right. Well, let me try another. How about if we, first of all, nothing happens until there are plans that are acceptable to the planning department. But at that point, perhaps they could let Mr. Hoff know that the plans are in a correct form and that they can put in their building permits so they can be reviewed rather than wait till the night that there's actually a memorialized resolution. I'm trying to save them a couple of weeks because they're getting murdered on the hurry.
Mr. Smith, I certainly understand that I feel for your clients, but you're putting the staff in a situation where they're saying plans are compliant with a resolution that doesn't exist when it comes to resolution compliance.
I told you it was outrageous.
I know. Look, it was worth the price of admission, you know, but I think they're going to have to, you know, follow the normal course.
Got it.
Well, I understand the reason for the ask, and they're in very capable hands with you and your office.
Kind of you to say. So in any case, we tried our best. We would appreciate if you'd go forward.
Okay. I'm waiting for a motion from the board. Hello.
Did the internet break down?
No. I tried to do it, but I got kicked out of the meeting and then my audio and my video is not working again.
Oh,
so,
well,
sorry,
you're back
folks.
In now. Come on.
I am back in. My video is not working, but I'll make a motion based upon the client, an approval of the application, providing that the client abides by all of the suggestions that the building department has, that, Ms. Corcoran has laid out, of course, in terms of some landscaping in that formerly blacktop area, which would have fronted Stelton Road, the adjustment of the handicap parking striping, the adjustment of the other parking spots to meet that, and really any of the other stipulations that the professionals and that the client have come to agree to at tonight's meeting. I'll make that offer. Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'd like to have a second.
Who's that?
Who?
I'm Mike Foster, seconded.
Mike Foster, seconded. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you very much. You have an approval and a resolution soon to follow. Mr. Smith.
Thank you very much for your courtesies.
Mm-hmm. Our next meeting will be May 13th.
Workshop meeting is April 22nd.
Correct.
May 13th.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good rest of the
evening. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Deb.
Have a wonderful evening.
Good night.
Safe drive.